You're listening to Inside Out. I'm Emma Tracy. Today's podcast was recorded last week with Beth Rose, myself and Lee Kumutat, who are blind, and our guest Toby Milden, who has spinal muscular atrophy. He uses a wheelchair and has limited arm movement. The chat this time is all about hair, and Toby kicks us off explaining how he manages to get the hair he wants without being able to reach his head.
I don't have a lot of it, Emma.
Yeah.
It looks very smart, though.
I'm receding.
The bits you have got.
I'm receding.
I keep it short, and I use some product to give it a bit of style. But my carers have different hair styling abilities. And quite often, after they've done it in the morning, my boyfriend will then rearrange my hair to be in keeping with what he thinks is stylish.
Does he do it better than the carers tend to do it?
The thing is, if Chris is happy with my hair, then I'm happy. Because then I know, at least I'm leaving the house when in the knowledge that someone likes it.
And yeah. I learned something about you today as well, that you've got a beard. In keeping with the hair.
Yeah, I do have a beard, and I think my beard makes up for what I'm losing on my head.
So the beard isn't so that someone doesn't have to shave you every day. The beard is not a lazy out for you to not have to have someone like go at your face with a blade.
Well, there is that. I mean, it is so much more convenient to have a beard because I don't have to shave every day. So there is a practical element to that as well. But I really like having a beard. I think it suits me. But again, there's only like one carer on my team that I completely trust in doing my beard once a week, and I made her sit down and watch hours of YouTube videos on how to groom beards. Because I was spending a lot of money going to the barber every week.
Can I ask about your beard? I'm really kind of nosy now. Sorry. Is it a goatee? Is it a long one?
Oh, no, it's not a goatee.
Is there a moustache involved?
It's a full face.
Is it a full beard? Is it?
But I keep it quite short.
I kind of want to do that thing that you're never supposed to want to do as a fully fledged, well adjusted blind person. I kind of want to feel your face now, Toby.
You can touch my beard. I don't mind.
We might do it after the recording.
With Toby's permission, we will have a photo of his beard up with the podcast today, because I think that's very important.
Yeah, you're very welcome to upload a photo of my beard.
And the rest of you.
And the rest of you.
Not just the beard.
But you can
not
zoom in on the beard.
Yeah.
Yes. We've been talking about hair because the BBC News has a great feature up on the site at the moment called The Salon, with lovely, lovely stories of various people and why they've come to the salon and how hair is very much part of their identity. And
how do you feel about your hair, Emma? I'm interested now.
You know what? I'm big into clothes. I feel like I've learned how to do basic makeup. Hair is still a little bit of a mystery to me. I haven't felt very many heads in my life and other people's hair. So I don't know how, I don't have much to compare it to. So I go very, very much on what other people say. And on a practical level, my hair is long enough to tie back. And when I go to the hairdresser, I always say, put a few layers into it so there's a bit of style in it, but make sure it's long enough for me to tie back. And I'm lucky that my hair has a wave, so I know from other people telling me that I can sort of just wash it and leave it and not have to do a huge amount of styling, which makes me very happy because I would not know where to start, because again, that's learned by sight by other people. But then I was, you know, looking around this morning, and there are deaf hairdressers and blind hairdressers and one-handed hairdressers, and every type of disabled person is in fact a hairdresser. And maybe it's more relating to my personality, my issues with hair, than actually my blindness.
You've got nice hair, Emma.
Thank you. What about you, Lee Kumutat?
I had a traumatic experience, actually, a couple of weeks ago. I went to try out a new hairdresser, and hair is important to me. It's always been something. I've always wanted waist length, luscious long hair. I thought that would make me, you know, feel really attractive. It turns out my hair just won't play ball on that score. It just kind of breaks at a certain length, and that's it. But I went to a new hairdresser, and she was chatting away. She was very nice and clearly trying to make me feel comfortable, and I was fine. And she said, "I love the color of your hair." You know, so I'm kind of getting to of an age where the colour of my hair is a little bit worrying. I feel there are some greys poking through. My mother delights in telling me when she sees me once a year how many greys I've got. And anyway, she said, I love the colour of your hair. She said, it's a lovely, oh, what would you call it? Ash colour. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm ash. And I was so traumatised, I didn't actually ask her to sort of try and tell me what that meant. But a friend of mine then subsequently said, oh, I do love the colour of your hair. I said, somebody called me Ash the other day. She said, well, no, I wouldn't have called you Ash. But she too couldn't sort of define what colour my hair is. And so I am living in this terrible nightmarish limbo because I thought my hair was quite dark brown, you know, almost mahogany.
Yeah, it turns out it's dark brown.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dark brown.
Last time my sister came to see me, she said, you know what we could do while I'm here, Emma? We could go and get a colour in your hair. And that was down to the greys poking through as well. And I didn't, I ended up that I was quite thankful that she had said that and, you know, that I was pleased to do it. So I went and spent a lot of money getting colour in my hair. But I said to the hairdresser, nothing too drastic. And nobody noticed. Nobody. So I'm going to have to go for something a bit more out there next time.
A pink stripe, Emma.
The problem is I don't know what that is exactly. So I said, you know, there are no greys now. So
you've got two options now, Emma, because you could either go back and get something more drastic or a slightly darker or lighter tone, whichever way you were going, or you could just think, actually, it's not worth it and keep all those hours in your pocket and all that money as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would do.
What about you, Beth? I don't know what your hair looks like, Beth.
Well, generally messy. It's blonde and shoulder length, and it's not like it's a difficult one to style. It's very because it's fair, it's quite thin, so it doesn't do much. And I've not mastered the art of styling either, to be honest. And when I go to a hairdresser, I never know really when they say what do you want. I never really know, and I put myself at their mercy as much as you do, probably, because I just think, well, you're the expert here, what would look good. So I just kind of, it's, yeah, a bit wavy.
It's, I think it's so much easier being a man.
I think so, yeah.
But I literally go to the barber and say, I want it short, and I can even give the barber a number. So I want it like at number 2, and he'll make it like really short and make my beard really neat and job done. I'm out in half an hour.
Or the other thing I find is I'll take a picture of someone of like a hairstyle I like, but it's probably actually I like the look of the model who's doing it. And I go there in the great hope that when I leave that salon, I too will be like the 6-foot model. And it's never yet worked. And I've remained 5'4" and with hair that probably looked the same as when I went in.
So does it, the fact that you say, the first thing you say about your hair is that it's messy, does that bother you at all? I mean, is it something that you wish you could change about yourself, or have you accepted that as part of your identity?
Well, I suppose I've accepted it, but when I look around the newsroom or the tube or a cafe or restaurant or whatever, lots of people seem to have immaculate hair, and I do have envy. I mean, I would love it if my hair stayed straight or something, but it's so flighty, it just doesn't. And as far as I'm aware, there's no technology that would really keep
tame
it in place.
Your hair.
Yeah.
So. You've just made me feel very, very pleased to be blind, Beth, because I cannot sit on the tube or a train and look at everybody else's perfect hair.
Oh.
And that goes for everybody else's perfect everything.
But that's where imagination comes in, doesn't it? Because you sit there thinking, actually, well, I do anyway. Oh, my God. You know, I had to put my hair up this morning because actually it felt quite sort of yucky and a bit oily. And I bet everybody else is sitting around me and their hair's wonderful and they've all got their makeup on and they're all looking immaculate. And what's this spot on my top? Oh, no. Bet no one else has a spot on their top.
Like maybe Lee, when I next see you,
yes,
and Emma, when I get up to Scotland and I take you out for coffee or something, can you imagine that I've got hair like Harry Styles?
Well, you have to tell me what Harry Styles' hair looks
exactly.
Like.
Good point. I have no idea what that looks like. Exactly.
Luscious hair. Yeah, lots of hair.
Lots of hair.
Maybe I'll just go the other way and say, gosh, you've got even more bald Toby Milton.
Oh, thanks, Emma.
I won't. It will be locked in. Harry Styles, you'll always be for me, Toby.
Oh, thanks.
You can get in touch with us in a myriad of different ways on Twitter at BBC Ouch. Find us on Facebook. Email us at ouch@bbc.co.uk. And you can find all the BBC's disability stories at bbc.co.uk/news/disability.